You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has room.
McKinley Wright from the logo.
Oh,
got it.
Oh, McKinley Wright
breaks a tackle. Touchdown. Touchdown. That's five for Chris Brown.
The defensive Tomlinson. Colorado is going to the NCAA tournament.
Stewart with time. Let's it go. He's got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown.
Welcome in to the DNVR Buffs podcast presented by Colorado Rugby. I'm Henry Chisholm, and we have a lot to talk about. Tyson Summers is no longer Colorado's defensive coordinator. ESPN's Adam Rittenberg reported that. I believe that Bruce Feldman has reported it, and the Daily Camera's own Brian Howell just confirmed it. So, safe to say, the news is real. I have a whole bunch of thoughts. We're still, like, obviously very early in all this, so I don't have, like, a big list of candidates right now, but I promise you, there will be some going forward. Today, though, we're going to talk about all about the firing, why it could have happened, just kind of, like, reactions. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And then hopefully we'll have another podcast, who knows, maybe even today, if there's big news today, talking about what's going on. So that's kind of the plan. But before we execute that plan, I want to tell you guys a little bit more about Colorado Rugby. You guys have probably heard me tell you that there are a whole bunch of really cool things happening in the Colorado Rugby space. Infinity Park, right here in Glendale, Colorado, is known as Rugby Town USA. In fact, the facility was recently designated the Rugby Town National Training Center, which is home of the USA Eagles men's and women's rugby 15s teams. There's a whole bunch of really cool things happening over there, including a new concept, which is basically like cross-training athletes to become rugby players. A whole bunch of former college football players, like Power 5 guys, you know, AAF guys, XFL guys, who've decided, like, you know, they aren't going to make it at football. Why not go try out rugby? And that's kind of American rugby's strategy to start competing at a higher level internationally. And all of that's starting right here, like basically in Cherry Creek, which is pretty cool. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. You can follow the DNVR rugby account to learn more. Colton Strickler, our rugby reporter, has a weekly rugby podcast. He's writing stuff on the website too. So stay tuned to all that, because there's a lot of cool stuff going on rugby-wise in Colorado as well. Okay. So, I'm kind of surprised, and we'll start there. The timing is one thing that kind of throws me off. I believe that the Alamo Bowl was a Tuesday, which means today is basically like 3 weeks since that Tuesday, because today is Tuesday. And That seems like quite a while to be mulling over something like firing your defensive coordinator. Typically, you see those changes made pretty quickly after the season ends. And that's obviously for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's just like a nice thing to do for the guy you're firing to say, hey, a whole bunch of the coaching jobs are going to get filled in these next couple of weeks. Go be a part of that process. Go find yourself a new home. You know, for every new head coach that's hired, they typically need at least one coordinator that they need to hire. And typically more than that, they want to build their own staff. So was it doing right by Tyson Summers? I cannot say yes or no. And we don't know the circumstances, you know, we're not going to like speculate about anything other than what happened on the football field today. But the truth is what happened on the football field for the most part was really good. But in that Texas game, was not good. And in the Utah game, when you had a chance to really elevate your status, without Nate Landman, Tyson Summers couldn't get it done. And that's probably something that Carl Durrell would point to in this decision. To me, I've thought that Tyson Summers has done a very good job. I think that the defense that he runs is a very good defense to run right now, the way that college football is. You know, it just gives you so much versatility, you know, different sorts of coverages, different sorts of fits. I mean, it's just a very versatile defense that can be very complicated. But as we've seen over the last 2 years, once guys understand what they're doing, it just works really well because it's the same defense that Bama runs and the Patriots run. I mean, it's called like the Saban Belichick defense, typically something like that. Depends on where you look. And so, I mean, it is really the defense that you do want to run. And like I said, it went well. You know, they were fifth in the Pac-12 in yards allowed per game, fifth in points per game. That Texas game really didn't help either of those numbers. But they were also number one in completion percentage, number one in opponent pass rating, number three in sacks. And that's with both the teams in front of them having played more games. That's not sacks per game. You look at what Carson Wells did, taking a huge step forward this year. And I'm not sure. Maybe Carl says, well, that was mostly Carson and it wasn't the scheme. To me, it looked like Carson was put in the right position more often than not. You know, this is something we even talked about as recently as like maybe even last week. The way that Carson Wells was used was just perfect. You remember Carson Wells making plays in the passing game, but what you don't remember is that he only dropped back into coverage like 20% of the time. No, more than that. But see, the thing is that when you have a guy like Carson Wells, who's a really good pass rusher, it seems almost counterintuitive, but if you rush him every single time, then you wind up kind of wasting him because they just assign defenders over there. And if he's playing well, they double him over there. But if they send a double team and you drop him off into coverage, well, then all of a sudden you've increased your coverage numbers by one and they've reduced their blocking numbers by two. So it's the same effect as if those two had blocked Carson and he hadn't been able to get through or anything like that. But also, Carson's in coverage because they're just standing there. So it's those sorts of things. Understanding players like Carson Wells who can get to the edge, figuring out what percentage of the time you rush them, how often you drop them back just to keep the offense honest. All those sorts of things that I thought just overall, in general, went pretty well for the Buffs this year. I really didn't think that there were many like schematic problems that were limiting things. It seemed like everybody knew what they were doing. I thought the play calling was good. And I thought in general, the results were good. And again, you can point to that Texas game or even the second half of that Utah game without Nate Landman and say, we need to be better there. And you know, you're not wrong. You would not be wrong at all. You do need to be better if you're going to be competing for Pac-12 titles, for college football playoff appearances, like Carl said. And what he said after the game is that we need to get better. We are still a ways off, and maybe this is part of the thinking, is that you just need to have a higher caliber defensive coordinator to be able to get those things done. Again, I'm not a huge fan of this move. I did like what Tyson was doing, and I thought that the progression over the course of the last 2 years was a very positive sign. It was growth that I thought you continue to see. And again, that growth was stunted right at the very end, and there is that big tail, but Nate Landman's gone. You're playing Texas instead of these Pac-12 teams. I don't know. It's a tough decision, and maybe that's why we didn't find out about the decision until right now, why Carl didn't make the decision until right now instead of a few weeks ago. But it's not what I expected to see today. You know, if you had said, like, Tyson Summers gets offered an FCS head coaching job, I would have been like, yeah. That's more likely than him getting fired from this Power 5 defensive coordinator job. Again, I don't see everything. I know that, like, when he talks to the media, he's a great guy, lots of good jokes, it's a lot of fun. Maybe he isn't well-liked. And again, this is speculation that I feel I'm not just going to, like, throw out there, but you know the sorts of behind the scenes that could happen. There's no reason to think any of them are real other than the fact that he isn't the coach. And again, the Buffalo defense has been trending in the right direction. It was one of the best passing defenses in the country, which, again, just does not feel right considering what we saw. It still seemed like they could have done better or could do better in the future because of the youth, because there really weren't too many mistakes. Sorry, this has been kind of rambly. But those are kind of my big points here, is that, you know, Tyson Summers, If I were going to grade him, I would give him a solid B or probably even better, B+, for what he did this season with this defense. You can't be too upset with a guy like Carl Durrell having high standards, though, and saying that Tyson Summers doesn't live up to those standards, as long as you can find somebody who actually does live up to those standards. And that's what we're going to talk about next, because there was another report that I want to talk about. And then I kind of want to just talk about, like, in a broad sense, what to expect from where this coaching search is going. But first, Breckenridge Brewery makes incredible beers. They're the official beer of DNVR, so that means that a whole bunch of things that we do, including this podcast, is made possible by the good people over at Breckenridge Brewery. And so by supporting them, you are supporting us at DNVR and my ability to have emergency podcasts like this on a Tuesday morning. Not only do I want to guilt you into buying Breckenridge beers, but also they're very good. The Strawberry Sky is my favorite. The Avalanche Amber Ale is just like a classic. I don't know what to call it. Like, is that a lager? I shouldn't. See, that's my thing, is I really can't get too into the weeds. Otherwise, I just sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. But I do know what I'm talking about, because I've had a lot of all of these beers, and I have truly enjoyed every single one. And I don't have, like, the most depth to my beer palate. I typically just like something that I can put in me and get a little bit buzzed before a football game. What I've learned, though, is that real adult beer that isn't, like, you know, the Natty Light or that sort of stuff can also be, like, good to just drink and also taste good, which is kind of a cool feature and something that I really appreciate about Breckenridge Brewery. Let's see. I'm not going to be at the DNVR bar in the future. Let's see. I'll probably be at the DNVR bar either Wednesday or Friday for the Avs games, and then Saturday for the Buffs game at noon. So if you guys want to drink some Breckenridge beers, maybe I will see you there, especially Saturday. We'll talk more about Saturday later on in the week. But big Buffs game, and like I said, we'll be at the DNVR bar. So yeah, there's a bunch of thoughts on Breckenridge Brewery. Also want to give a quick shout out to our friends over at MSU Denver Online. Now is the time to apply and register for classes at MSU Denver Online. The spring semester starts January 19th. That is 1 week from today. So check it out. Go to msudenver.com/online and see what they offer, because there really is a whole lot of great stuff. you know, it's an online school and it's meant to be online. You know, they spent years building up to this point by trying things that have worked and things that haven't worked. And now they've built kind of the premier online school in the Rocky Mountain region. And so if you're somebody who's going to a school that's remote anyway, or if you're somebody who's locked in your house like the rest of us and you're kind of bored and you think, huh, why not learn about like knights and stuff in a history class, you know, that would be a fun thing to just learn about. Well, then maybe that's another option too. Or if you want to go back to school to get a degree, to change career fields, or to advance yourself in your career field, so many different reasons you could be interested in going to school. And MSU Denver Online just makes it so easy with great information. We've actually had a couple of our very own staff members here at DMVR take classes at MSU Denver Online, and they've said that the professors are extremely responsive and they care about you and all that sort of stuff. It's convenient. It's meant for people who work jobs. I think the students at MSU Denver Online actually work double the hours while taking classes as any other school in Colorado. It just means that everything is built for you to be able to continue the rest of your life instead of putting everything on hold to go to school. It's super convenient. Like I said, you can go to msudenver.com/online for more information on the 40 plus online and hybrid programs that can get you a degree. And again, 1 week until classes start. So now is the time to pull the trigger and make it happen. Okay. So, that first little bit, we talked about me being very shocked by what's going on today. And this next part, I'm going to try to pull it together a bit and think about what is going to happen going forward. Now, like I said, the timeline here is a little bit weird. For them to have waited 3 weeks to make this move, you know, at the same time, they did fire Drew Wilson, the strength coach, just last week. And so who knows? Maybe Carl did just want to like take a little time off, get through the holidays, think through some things, and then figure out where to go. And, you know, knowing Carl, if that's how he approaches the off season, that would not be a huge surprise that he isn't just like trying to get everything done in the first 12 hours. Whatever the case, Tyson Summers firing does line up with a couple of pretty big events that are going on in the football world. First of all, in case you guys hadn't heard, the national championship was last night, which means that all of the assistant coaches who were coaching for one of the national championship teams, Alabama or Ohio State, could be now looking for a promotion, whether that's at home or by going somewhere else like Colorado. So that is one thing to think about, especially when we remember that Colorado basically runs the same defense that Alabama does, with pretty much everybody coming back. You know, in my opinion, not a great time for a total like overhaul of what you're doing defensively, changing terminology, all of that. Because you're really, who are you losing? I guess potentially Nate, depending on what's up with the injury and how long it takes him to recover. He may be able to start the season. He may not, who knows. But I think that is it. I mean, like Jason Harris is transferring. Yeah. So to me, I wouldn't love just going in and saying, okay, you guys have just spent 2 years learning this language and how all these pieces work and what you're watching for and all that kind of stuff, just to pull the rug out from under them when it does feel like you're kind of primed for what should be your best football of this little era, this Nate Landman era, with those other guys who have been a part of this defense in similar ways. Again, if you bring in somebody from Bama, somebody who you now could be talking to, that is one way to avoid that. At the same time, that really would surprise me, because before coming to Boulder, Carl Durrell had spent 11 of the previous 12 years coaching in the NFL. That means all of his connections, for the most part, are in the NFL. And that brings us to the second event that is happening in the football world. And that was last weekend, the super wild card weekend, or whatever the NFL was calling it, because there's now three wild card games on Saturday and three on Sunday instead of two and two. That means that there's now six teams who just got knocked out of the playoffs and their season ended. They're in the same boat that all these other assistant coaches are, where, you know what, if you're a linebackers coach, you're a safeties coach, you're probably looking around, seeing if anybody wants you to be their defensive coordinator. And if they do, is it a big drop-off in terms of the level of competition, all that kind of stuff, or is this actually like a real big promotion? Again, Carl has connections. I don't know, like, who in particular that he would be after, but the six teams that lost, Colts, Seahawks, Washington, Titans, Bears, Steelers, I don't think he's been any of those places recently, but obviously the way that NFL coaching works, everybody is bouncing around everywhere, and so one of those guys, somebody might be on one of those staffs who was just with him with the Dolphins last year. And so that's really the other place that I'm keeping an eye is on those teams who just became available. Because again, the weird thing here is that Tyson Summers wasn't let go a little bit earlier. Or at least that surprises me. Could Carl have sent out some feelers and said, like, hey, buddy, whose defense did a great job holding the Ravens to 20, but what wasn't enough to get on to next rounds? Like, hey, you interested in this job? Oh, you are? Well, let's see if we can get something done. And maybe that was the conversation yesterday, and today was the day that it was time to tell Tyson Summers that he wasn't the man in Boulder anymore. Whatever the case, I do think that coaching transitions, like within the staff, is an area where I do expect Carl Durrell to have success. You know, the recruiting, that's a question. I think a lot of recruiting comes with winning. I also think a lot of recruiting comes with location, and Colorado hasn't done a whole lot of either, but the wins started to pile up this year and people could believe in Carl, and that's going to make it really a lot easier to recruit. At the same time though, you got to see him start to bring in some talent that is seen as, you know, a little bit higher caliber than this current class, you know, not a lot of four stars. So while that has been pointed to as a strength or a weakness, the recruiting, I think this coaching staff, and this is something I've said before on this podcast, is an area where that should be a strength because of all the connections. His ability to kind of take his pick of the young coaches and give them good opportunities, because he does have a reputation of, you know, being a guy who cares about his coaches and wants to put them in positions to succeed and that sort of thing. He isn't really thinking like, what's best for me? It's more thinking like, well, actually what's best for me is if I can get all of my assistant coaches onto better jobs, and so other assistant coaches want to come in here so that they will also move on, and it becomes this like factory, like this farm for coaches. And Carl Durrell certainly has the connections to get that done. You know, we've already seen, like, you know, they'll bring in some vets like Chris Wilson, who won a Super Bowl with the Eagles as the defensive line coach, and has done a whole bunch of other really impressive things during his career as well. But also younger guys like Taylor Embry, who I see is certainly one of the up-and-comers. Not like a guy who's within 2-3 years of a head coaching job, but maybe a guy who's within a few years of getting a pretty big NFL job that he could build into maybe a coordinator job, into a maybe a head coaching job from there. And I do think that those are the types of guys, because of the connections to, you know, he gave Kyle Shanahan his first job, and a whole bunch of these young coaches he's been really plugged into because they run that West Coast system. And that means they hit all the same stops and they have all the same friends because their friends have all worked together. And you should be able to see Carl Durrell build a really impressive coaching staff, and that should develop into a coaching tree. Maybe in a way that a first-time head coach, somebody who hasn't been around quite as long, like Mel Tucker, may not have been able to. Because sure, he definitely did know some people and he had like a good reputation. It just isn't the same as proving it and building relationships over the course of 20 to 25 years that Carl Durrell has done and now has that under his belt. So I do expect good things to come from this. I do think that this should be one of the strengths of Carl. And we'll see how it goes. This will be one of like the first indicators of whether I've been right. You know, there are definitely some things that you can point to, like, you know, Taylor Embry, like I said, like that's a good get. That's somebody who you should be giving an opportunity to. And I think have we seen it pay off? Maybe not. It was such a big first game from Brady Russell, but then he got hurt and there just wasn't a whole lot of talent there. But yeah, so if this position gets filled by somebody who is good, again, very good sign. If it isn't, then it's a bad sign. You know, again, my take for quite a while now is that this is the value of Carl Durrell, is building these coaching staffs. And now we're just in wait and see mode. And hopefully it's somebody who's exciting right off the bat. And even if it isn't, then maybe it's somebody who's just good at their job. We have gotten one name in this whole search, and it isn't like a huge, like breaking piece of news or anything like that. But it is a place to start this search, and we're going to get into that after we talk about Green Mountain Dental Group, our old friends and former presenting sponsors. Green Mountain Dental does great work. They'll keep your teeth in tip-top shape. They're conveniently located just 15 minutes away from downtown Denver in Lakewood, Colorado. So much to like. They're family-owned. Did I say Colorado sports fans already? That's an important point. If I did say it, then it's worth it to say it again. But, I mean, just, again, great work, great reviews. A bunch of people of DMVR have gone out there. DMVR listeners have made that their permanent dentist. And the best part is, if you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam at Green Mountain Dental Group, they will give you a free Sonicare toothbrush. It's a great deal. Again, it's just 15 minutes away from downtown Denver in Lakewood. Get out there because they do really great work. All right. So, we got just a little bit of a scoop from, oh wow, so many tweets since we started this podcast. There it is. From Bruce Feldman, who said, hearing that Colorado defensive line coach Chris Wilson is viewed as a strong internal candidate to become the Buffs defensive coordinator, the 52-year-old Wilson has defensive coordinating experience from his days at Mississippi State. So, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time watching Chris Wilson's Mississippi State defenses from back in the day, but I do think that Chris Wilson would be a decent choice as a defensive coordinator. I think that there's a lot to like, including his fingerprints that are already all over this defense. Like, obviously, the defensive line was very good. You saw Janaz Jordan take a big step forward. You saw Mustafa and Jalen and Terrence and those guys also, you know, put together some of their best work in their time in Boulder. But there was a much bigger change that was all Chris Wilson, and that was the switch to a one-gap technique. The one gap essentially means that everybody just is assigned a gap, and that's how you stop the run. If you're Jalen Sommy right in the middle, you're either assigned the gap to the right or to the left of the center, and your job is to not let anybody through there. And typically the best way to do it is to get through there first, get in the backfield, and make a play. It turns into a much more aggressive style of defense than if you're telling people, okay, clog up these running lanes up front, let the linebackers fly around and go make a play. That's what the Buffs have been doing. Now they switch to the one gap for the season, and you saw how much penetration it created. This was a new level for that front seven of the Buffs, you know, with guys like Carson Wells leading the nation in tackles for loss per game. When you have that, and you have Nate Landman, who's also like way up on that list, and then you remember just how productive everybody inside is, you start to get this full picture of how dominant that front seven was for the most part. You know, there are a couple of little glimpses here or there. You know, the Utah game when linebackers weren't taking care of their gap, and all of a sudden you're just giving Ty Jordan a massive running lane, not something you can ever do. So there were some flaws, and that is the flaws, that if you blow an assignment, you're out to dry. But it did work. And that's something that Chris, who, like I said earlier, coached The defensive line of the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, that group with Fletcher Cox and let's see, who else was there? Chris Long and I think like Timmy Jernigan. I thought they had one more really good guy. But the point is, he ran that same scheme there, won him a Super Bowl. Chris Wilson certainly could be a very good defensive coordinator. And again, I'm not in the meeting room, so I don't know how big the difference between him and Tyson Summers is. Would you have been happier holding on to Tyson Summers, keeping Chris Wilson in his position and saying, you know what, we're going to work together a little bit. We're going to keep throwing ideas out and Tyson's going to pick the best ones and run with them. I don't know. It seems like at this point that might not have been a bad decision, but who knows? Maybe letting Chris take even more control could be a good thing because he is a very established coach. You know, we talked about him being the defensive line coach there, but his resume is a very strong one. Been with the Cardinals, been the defensive line coach at USC, at Georgia, at Oklahoma, at Colorado before this, Illinois State, maybe not all that impressive, but traveled all around, coached some of the best defensive linemen in the country at every one of those stops. Like, USC is always going to have talent there. Georgia's always going to have talent there. He was also the defensive coordinator for 2 years at Mississippi State, plus 1 year before that, he was the co-defensive coordinator. He has a very long and successful track record. And you know what? If that's kind of your safety option is promoting Chris Wilson, you're really not in a bad place. And that does set the stage for forcing a candidate to blow your socks off for him to get the job over a guy like Chris Wilson. Now, hopefully that's what happens. Hopefully you get some, I don't know. I wasn't looking at defensive coordinator candidates. I need to go back and do a whole lot more research, which is the plan for after this. But, you know, this is kind of where we're at right now. Tyson Summers out. Chris Wilson is the in-house favorite. Makes you think that if it is somebody who's currently within the program, it will be Chris. Yeah, I think that probably makes sense. Because the other coaches, you got Brian Michalowski back there, Brett Maxey, Demetrius Martin. Chris Wilson is probably the safest option out of all of those. And now they're going to run around and see if they can talk to a couple of the guys from Bama, talk to a couple of the guys from the NFL, and just see what their options are like would be my guess. But who knows? Maybe they have something up their sleeve. Maybe they have a little bit more of a plan than I'm giving him credit for. And if that's the case, then we might be getting some big news here pretty soon. I think that's going to do it for this quick emergency podcast, just to share all my thoughts on what's going down. And once we know enough more to fill another podcast, I'll be back with that podcast. We're also going to get Ben on to talk about the game last night here pretty soon. Maybe even that's today. I'm not sure. All I knew is I needed to get this done. And I'm really excited to scroll through Twitter and see if we've learned anything new. Appreciate everybody for listening. I'll be back soon. I think they like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act, and when I'm in it go, you know I'm acting bad. Holly get a bus with my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Might not swear, I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, yeah. Is pushing 180. Speed and pad competition, see you later, baby. Colorado Army, with soldiers like the Navy. Yeah. And boaters where we stationed, patiently awaiting. Whoa. When I hit the field, it's so hard to behave. Chill. I'm Colorado swagging as the crowd do the wave. Look into my eyes. I can tell that you afraid, uh-huh. Cause you know we finna hit ya, hit ya, hit ya, hit ya. Hey. You on your own now, why you watching the official? Chill. You just better hope you make it to the next whistle. And we ain't playing with you, you can get it anytime. Yeah. It started at the scrimmage, we gon' win it at the line. Chill. My Colorado swag in the middle of the ring. Throwing blows, knocking down team after team. I think they like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in it go, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag.
survival. Get them bucks, get them bucks, mess them up, we say we got them. If we don't, then we'll get them when we see them, then we add them. Like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that play, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that gold, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get them bucks with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Man, I swear, I think they like my Colorado swag. Cause when I'm in that black, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that gold, you know I'm acting bad. Holla, get a bus with my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag. My Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Man, I swear, I think they like my Colorado swag.